Scripture reading this morning will come from the book of John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
Thank you, Richard. We're so glad you're here this morning. It's good to see all of you. And just think, I started praying for snow today. I did. The class over here that was here, they could tell you, but I prayed no ice. So if you pray specifically, God knows what you want. Well, he already knows anyway. Boy, this is going to be hard this morning. To secure your salvation, how far has God gone? And to make sure that we are saved, how far will we go? Last Sunday morning, we looked at the logos, the logic of Jesus Christ. He is logic. In fact, he's logical. And we looked at the fact that he had an eternal existence and that he was in a spiritual relationship, a deep relationship with God, and what that meant. This morning, I want to move a little bit further into verses 3 and 4 that deal specifically with the concept that this is what Jesus was. And then I want to go into what Jesus became. Creator. He was creator. I don't know how anybody could take nothing and make something. But the power of God, the voice of God, the logical reasoning of God, when God said, "Let there be light," that word that came out of his mouth proceeded to go out and accomplish everything that we need Jesus Christ to be. So we want to look at, first of all, in verse 3, we want to look at the fact that he is the complete creator. Complete creator. There will be people that will say, "Well, I read Genesis chapter 1, and in Genesis chapter 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And here it says that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. In fact, without him nothing was made that has been made." Yes, what problem do you have with that? Well, most people assume that he's talking about God the Father in Genesis 1:1, and Jesus in John 1:3. But like Joe learned the hard way last Sunday morning, that word God in Genesis 1:1 is plural. I asked, is it single or is it plural? If you get it right, you go to heaven. If you don't, you don't. And Joe got it wrong. He said it's singular. And so I said, "Well, you don't go to heaven." And we all laughed about that, but we don't have to understand everything, but we have to trust Jesus. So in dealing with this, we begin in Colossians, the first chapter. And in this, if there was ever a resume, if God ever posted a resume about what he has done, chapter 1 of Colossians is that resume. And when we get to verse 15 and 16 and 17, we begin to be staggered by all the things that Jesus Christ is and has accomplished. The Bible says in verse 15, he is the image. He is the exact profile of God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Not just building a building. Not just establishing a religion. but setting up all powers, whatever powers there may be, setting up all authority, creating everything that we can ever imagine. The profile of God. A couple of days ago, Friday, Bonnie was off work, and so we were out somewhere, and I think it was Freddie's, and in came, I think it was a grandma and a grandpa with a set of identical twin girls. And we have our own set of identical twins that aren't here this morning, but I just, being a twin myself, I think it's marvelous. I think looking at somebody and looking at someone and say, wow, they are identical. And we just found out last week that Tristan and Shauna are expecting. And so I said to them, I said, do you mind if I pray for twins? And she didn't mind at all. In fact, Alyssa, older sister, has already said, Mom, maybe there'll be two. Well, God will only give you what you can handle, so it may be triplets. Because Shauna can handle a lot. If she can put up with Tristan and me, she can handle a lot. But God created everything. Jesus didn't leave anything undone that needed to be done. And we look at the civility of humankind. People who are civil. Civil law. Where did that come from? Where did the power and authorities of nations, in their rise and in their fall, where did all that come from? The Bible says here in Colossians 1:16, Jesus. So He is Creator, we understand that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in dealing with food sacrificed to idols, to little g gods, gods that aren't gods, little g gods, He talks about that. And in verse 6, He says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. It is by the grace of God that Jesus established that you're alive today. And that you will be alive after that final judgment, that day when Jesus comes back to take us home. It is by God's grace and the power through God's grace and the creative forces, but also the redemptive forces of God. Jesus is the complete Creator. I want to go back and examine Genesis 1:1. If you would just go back and take a look at some of the phrases that we take for granted. And that's what I want to do today, but I want to just look at what is said here. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear, and it was so. And God said, verse 11, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in according to their kind, their various kinds. And it was so. And God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let the lights be in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God said, verse 20, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the great expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according
to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And then God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Have you ever thought about how logical the creation went? Some people say, well, the day that he's talking about here, the day and the evening, it was the first day, and the day and the evening, it was the second day, and the day and the evening, it was the third day. There are some people that want to say it took God about 700,000 years for those 7 days. But the reality is, though, that word day is the same word that's translated throughout the entire Old Testament and New Testament to refer to 24 hours of time. And yet people will go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and say, well, the day of the Lord is, you know, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And so they try to make it longer than it was. But here's the beauty of God. God created the trees, and on that day, there was the evening and there was the morning. There was the time period that it took for the trees to be rooted and planted, and then if it was 1,000 years as a day, it's going to be 1,000 years as a night, the darkness. You ever made a science experiment? I remember when I was in fifth grade, and we had to get this little cup of dirt and a seed, and you had to plant it, and you had to water it, and you had to have your plant grow. But then you had another cup with an identical seed, identical dirt, identical water, and you kept it in a closet. Do you know which one of those two didn't grow? The one in darkness. See, science bears out that there is no way that one day was 1,000 years and that the night was 1,000 years, because if it was, then the trees would have died in the 1,000 years of darkness. Let's be logical. That's the way God was. But I want us to notice three things. First of all, God said 10 times, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 22, verse 24, verse 26, verse 28. 10 times God said. Secondly, in verses 5, 8, and 10, God called. Thirdly, in verses 7, 16, 21, 25, and 27, God made, or God created. How did he do that? Language. It's what he said. And Jesus, as John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He, as the Word of God, the logic, thought, reason, and the process of logic, thought, and reason, went out and made everything in a logical manner, with the greatest of God's creation being last. That's you and me, in His image. I think that's wonderful. I think that we have a purpose, because the Bible teaches we have a purpose. We are not a mere chance existence being. We are here for a reason. It's not just that the voice of God spoke. It was the logic and the power of God went out and created. So Jesus, as the powerful Word and as the logical Word, went out and made everything. But he didn't just make everything. He made it for a reason. He made it for a purpose, that we would glorify God. Number two, when we go back to John chapter 1, you see, if we can understand God and understand where He came from and understand where we came from and understand how God works, we can be better citizens in the kingdom of Christ, and we can be better citizens in the United States of America. But secondly, He is the possessor of life. We see in verse 4 of John chapter 1, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. That word life is the Greek word zoe. It's the word that Zoe gets her name from. It means eternal life. It's D-Z-O-E. Although the D is actually silent. Zoe. Zoe. It's a wonderful word because it speaks of one who is all eternal existent that can never die. God can never die. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, we're here. I'll get to that in just a minute. But we need to understand that He is the possessor of life. As we looked at 1 John chapter 1 last week, I want to go back and look there again because of what John said. Have you ever seen somebody that you thought, wow, I wish I was that person? Because then they wouldn't have the problems that I have. Now, I have never looked at my twin brother and said that. And I guarantee you, he's never looked at me and said that because he knows me and I know him. But, you know, somebody that's a good-looking person and seems to have their act together, and boy, oh, I wish I was that person. You know, 20 years younger, I'd feel better if I was 20 years younger. Well, maybe if I took more Tylenol. But the fact is, everybody has problems. And probably that good-looking person that you think doesn't have any problems, he or she could be the biggest problem in the world because they may look in the mirror and think, I am God's gift to humanity. I know there was a time when my twin brother, he used to say, I am not conceited. I'm convinced. He used to say he was God's gift to women. That one would get exchanged. But the truth in 1 John 1 is that which, he's talking about that which is the perfect life that Jesus lived, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. He's the word that we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at. That word deals with the microscope. We have looked at Jesus under the microscope. That's what the apostles are saying. And our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. And we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the life, there was one of those. But the beauty of that life is that that life is given to us. That life, the glory of His sinless life, the glory of His perfect existence has been applied to us because He is the possessor. He's the one that has it. He's the one that gives it. But in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about, He says, I'm the good shepherd for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. And we say, thank God for that. But earlier in John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come. You see, He was the creator. He was the self-existent one. He was the one living in eternity who left eternity. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He's not talking about our diet that we eat. He's not talking about having a full stomach. He's talking about having the complete fullness of godly, eternal living. And that's what he means. So in Romans, the 5th chapter, we don't have time to read all of it, although I would like to read all of it for you. But in Romans chapter 5, I want to get down to the conclusion of the matter of Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Romans 5 and verse 21. So that, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Something happened. When God made man in his image, God made man with the ability to choose. Sometimes our choices are not the best. Sometimes we make the bad. We make the worst choices that we could ever make. And yet, God is able to help us get past even our worst failures. You see, God is always forgiving. But how did He get that way? Because God started off as the Creator. Jesus started off as the Creator. He started off as the possessor of eternal life. And we didn't have any of that. Oh, we can, there are some of us here, like JL and Thurman and Ryan back there and Stan and others that I know that can take wood and make things out of it and paint things and make something look beautiful. I know, I've seen the work of some of these men and even some of the women that are here. We can do that, but what could we do to save ourselves? The eternal existence of Christ, the Creator, the possessor of life, made a choice, a good choice. He chose to leave heaven to come to earth. He chose to leave His self-existence, eternal being. He chose to leave that behind and to be born of a woman. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians, the second chapter. I thought that this is probably the best passage of Scripture, which, although in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says, though He was rich, which meant that He was the possessor of every good thing and everything of value, although He was rich, yet for your sake, He became poor. And if you look up that word poor in the Greek language, it is the literal bottom of the barrel poor. He absolutely poured out everything so that He can come here to save us. And so then the Philippian writer puts it this way. Your attitude, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, and He was God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. He let go of that. He gave that up, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, just like the song that we sang this morning, and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus made the choice to not be known as the Creator and the possessor of life, but to be known as the Redeemer. To come and find a way to buy back the sinful humanity that He created so that humanity could share in the eternal existence of God. And to that we say, praise God. I know it's hard for you all to say, but can you say the word praise? And can you say the word God? And can you put them together? Oh, we can't even do that. Praise God for what He has done. But the issue here is that Jesus made the difference. Creator, possessor, emptier, redeemer. What has He given up for you and me? Everything. And that's not the story, or not the whole of the story, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back to get us, and He takes us to heaven with Him, then He turns the kingdom over to God the Father, and He Himself, instead of remaining equal with God, which is what He was in the beginning, When he turns the kingdom over to God the Father, he himself becomes submissive to God the Father. If that doesn't impress you about how far God has come to get you and how far God would go to keep you, it should. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and not just you and not just me, but other people, all people, the people that have problems with alcohol or sex or drugs, the people that just don't know that God loves them, and just like the man spoke about last Sunday night, these young girls that think they're not worth anything, and so they take blades and they cut their wrists and they cut their arms. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But perhaps it's somebody that just doesn't know that there is a God who believes that they are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we understand what God has done for us, then we have a better knowledge of Him, but we can trust Him better, and we can have something that is worth more than any gold on the face of this earth: assurance. God doesn't want us to be a question mark. He wants us to be sure. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 8, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I don't know where you are in your life. I hope that everyone here has been baptized into Christ to have their sins washed away and to be added to the Lord's church, and that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, and that God loves you and He's taking care of you. But there are some times we run across people that aren't prepared, that aren't ready, or maybe hasn't made the next step toward maturity. This morning, how far would you go to get to heaven? Who do you trust? Well, we know that you can't always trust preachers, and you can't always trust other people. But the question is, can we trust God? The God who is the great creator, the God who is the great possessor of eternal life and all blessings. Can we trust that one who would then give up every part of his godhood to come down and find us and to intercede for us with his own blood, to become our Savior? You see, that's Jesus' choice. His choice is to be our Savior, to save us from our past sins, but to save us from our present sins today. He's still the Savior. In fact, Jesus would rather be called the Son of Man than the Son of God. You go back and read the Gospel of John, and you'll find out Jesus' favorite title was Son of Man, because he came to save man, and that's you and me. Is God worthy of our praise? Absolutely. Look at where he started, Jesus, where he started and where he ended up. But look at his story along the way. We're here today because of the grace of God, because Jesus made a choice to give up his creatorship, to give up his possessor of life-ship, to come down to become our Savior. Can you have assurance in Jesus Christ? Yes. Can you know that what God has written leads to heaven? Yes. And it's not based on human emotion. And it's not based on the power of my language. It's based on the power of the language of God. That language that's found in that Bible. See, God is logical. He's been thinking about you for eternity. And He always will. If you're here this morning and a Christian, praise God for that. Thank God for what Jesus has done. But if you're not a Christian, it's not that difficult. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believes not shall be condemned. Maybe there is one here today who is ready to make that step. Or maybe there's one here today who has already done that, but maybe you're ready to make the next step toward maturity to begin growing up into Christ. We're all struggling. We all have our problems, but God loves us in spite of our problems. And He is our Redeemer and Savior. If we can assist you, we're going to sing this song to encourage you to make a decision. As we stand and as we sing, if we can help you, please come.